Welcome to episode 9 of Espacito, the Espergenesis podcast. My name is Tom.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike, and I play Pax. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it.
I'm the other Tom, and I play D4.
I'm Aaron. I play Ozen. If you want more information, go to Espacito at WordPress.com. And we also have more information on Instagram and Facebook and maybe Twitter, apparently. I think, yes. Yes, guys, Twitter?
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share this podcast around. We all really appreciate it.
That was our worst introduction yet. Thanks. Yeah, this has been fun, for real. You guys are never doing this again with us.
This is why we do this alone, John.
Alone and naked.
And now, on with the show.
Nice. Nice. Yeah,
except that that's not going to be included, because we need to have the last time on...
Esposito. Ozen, you slide the door open, and inside there is what looks to be a cache.
Are you Druso?
And he sort of nods.
Okay, good. We've been sent to save you. Just stay quiet, and we're going to get you out of here.
I open the green container.
So you open the green container, and inside you see a human male. He's quite young, and he is wearing quite a familiar piece of clothing. He's wearing a uniform for the Callistus, and you recognise it to be Officer Cadet Korchev. And you see a face on the screen, which you recognise. You realise the same face of the man in the sharp suit and the long silver hair. Thank you, that was Venom Page, Deputy Chief Operating Officer of Revesis and the sole survivor of the destruction of the HWBC Callistus. Again, information is still coming in, but the Sylvain Security Forces and the Infinity Corps are calling the attack a terrorist incident and attributing it to a group quickly being known as, by the media, as the Epsilon Shift. At the end of that last session, we all leveled up. You all leveled up to level 3. So, so anyone got anything new? Anyone want to just quickly go through any new cool shit they've got, or anything that changes their character or anything like that?
I've actually got some health points now.
Oh, interesting.
It's a nice change for me. Apart from that, I get an extra first level forging slot, not spell slot, and some second level techniques.
Do you pick like a kit or an archetype or anything like that?
No, I got that like level 2, which is odd, because normally in the other game that we can't mention, that'd be a level 3 thing, but this happens at level 2.
Ah. What about you, Pax? Anything new?
Yeah, I am now a Storm Guard.
What's a Storm Guard?
I can now link up to 2 weapons and then call them from anywhere. So I'm going to, when we get a chance, link up my sabers. And then I can do something really cool with both of them called Weapon Surge. Basically, I can change the damage type of the weapon. And I've chosen 2, one of which is Acid Ring. You can choose 3 targets within 10 feet, and they take 2d6 damage. Half of that on a successful dex saving throw. And if they fail that as well, they're attacked with advantage on the following turn. And then the other type of damage is Force Drive, where again you take 2d6 damage, and then the target must make a constitution saving throw and push 15 feet not prone. And that's 2 uses of that I get every short or long rest. So that's pretty nifty.
Jefferson, what's new with you?
Well, my good buddies, Jefferson gets quite a lot. So I got up to 24 hit points, which is cool. I choose a specific skill. So I'm a stalker hunter.
Ooh. I mean, it's in keeping with your earlier interactions with female members of the crew.
And with you guys. I follow you from a distance.
Just in general.
So I get an objective scanner. So at the start of my third level, I can spend one of my tech slots to do some uninterrupted like studying of stuff. I don't really plan on using this one too much.
You're selling it.
Whenever I plan on hunting or following or fighting a lot.
Going into brothels again.
Yeah. I know where groups of this particular group, like species, are within 10 miles of my location. I know how many of them there are. And then I get a data scanner. So I can choose one particular creature, construct, or automaton within 60 feet of me. I learn their damage immunities, resistances, and vulnerabilities.
That's useful.
If they're immune to stealth, however, Tom, this is for you. If they are immune to stealth technology, then they are also immune to my ability.
Ooh. Okay, that's good to know.
And then I also get tactical ambush, which means that on my first turn during combat, until the end of that turn, I gain a plus 10 bonus to my speed. And if I use the attack action during... This is cool. If I use the attack action during that turn, I can make an additional attack as part of that action.
So, like, on the first turn, you get an extra attack?
Yeah, and I get to add my wisdom modifier to that attack.
Excellent. Cool.
I also got some extra tech things, some tech slots. I can tell you them if you'd like.
No, we're good.
Yeah, it is. But it'll come up.
Ozan, how about you?
I'm currently waiting for my Sentinel section of the PDF to load. So I can, in fact, confirm that I am capable of at least 8% more smashing at this moment in time.
But that's pretty good.
Everything else is kind of vague, so...
I mean, do you want me to open up the Sentinel page and tell you what you can do?
Mother of God, the technology. Yes, please.
Sentinels. So, at level 3... There's a lot here.
Save me for later. I'm still waiting for it to load.
Yeah, there's a lot here. Like you pick a sentinel path.
I don't know what that is.
So you can choose between the path of the champion, which leads you towards the path of being a cosmic defender. The path of the slayer, which sounds a bit more up your street.
I mean, that does sound pretty meh.
That's it. There's only two.
Oh, well, Path of the Slayer it is.
It's either help or kill. I think we know which one you're going for.
I'm sold.
Excellent. So, okay, so you become the Slayer.
I think we can all agree I was already part of the way there. But I think when it comes to, like, burning down houses of potentially innocent people.
You certainly don't defend it.
Nope, I do not.
Okay, awesome. Okay, cool. So I guess we just kick off then with where we were. You have just very magically, without cocking up or killing everyone, got in and out of the party at Shine Tops, where you tried to talk yourselves in, and that didn't quite work, and then you just realised you could climb over the back fence, and that didn't work surprisingly well, which probably says a little bit about my for planning. Maybe I should have seen that coming.
No one's more shocked than us.
I mean, like, genuinely, I could have just given the guy higher fences. It wouldn't have been hard for me. I have that power.
Foiled again, guys.
So you got in and you rescued two people from captivity there who had been forced to fight each other in gladiatorial combat. That was Korchev, who is the officer on the HWBC Callistus probably blew up, and Druso, who you were tasked to rescue by Melkor, who is a Kesh you met in the courtyard outside the Coronet. So currently you've just sort of made your way over the fence. I'm not sure where you're going now, but you're sort of... You've just climbed your way back over the fence now, and you're making your way off into the middle of the night after the party. So, where you go from here is kind of up to you.
I thought we were going to go back to the apron cellar, grab the guy's husband, and get him all on the ship so we can keep him safe from reprisals and shit.
That sounds like a good plan.
But do we also need to get Steve, or is that for later?
I feel like Steve is going to take a bit more planning.
Okay.
I think. Maybe.
And also, they've got the anti-aircraft gun as well, so leaving might be a tad difficult at the moment.
So I have some thoughts on this, but I feel like maybe, you know, we should do that brilliant thing of splitting the party briefly, where we send...
We do it every episode.
We send some people back with Druso and Korchev to Jefferson Starship, and then two people go and bring Melkor back to the Starship,
mm-hmm.
and then we plan our... rescuing of Steve.
That sounds good.
I'm up for rescuing Melkor.
I'll go with you because I have a bond with him. I have some of his memories.
I also think I'm kind of well known in the area now, so it's probably best if I go back to the ship.
Yeah.
And we need someone who can actually, you know, operate technology on the ship as well. So
that is true, yeah. Yes.
I need to pick up my apron suit from him.
Okay, so you guys go to the ship with Korch Evan, what's his name? And we'll go and get Melkor.
Druso? Are we carrying one of these guys? Druso's like nearly dead, right?
He's not wholesome, but I think someone healed him a bit.
Yeah, you healed Druso for a few points.
So he's walking then, yeah?
He's walking. He's in a pretty bad shape. He's had some kind of fairly long-term punishment. You don't know how long he's been there. You know, Korchev can only have been there for a day or two. Whereas Druso, you're not quite sure how long he's been down there. He's had some pretty rough treatment. So
he might not survive the desert in the night.
Wait, has it only been a day or two since the Callistus was blown up?
It's not been long, no. It's like been a couple of days.
I say that like I'm surprised, but we've not really done much.
So, timeline-wise, you escaped the Callistus, then it took you, I think it took you about 12 to sort of 14 hours or so to land. Then you had a few hours trek into town. You've definitely stayed at least, I think you stayed at least overnight once. So you're probably coming up on sort of like your second night since the Callistus blew up. It's not been long.
I think it might be an idea to get some kind of land vehicle to get back to the ship with, because we nearly took some damage on the way.
GTA?
Some kind of land speeder, maybe. If they exist.
Get sued?
Are you saying you want to do a gun in 60 second style car heist?
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. Why
haven't we already?
Because we haven't found Nicolas Cage yet.
Have we seen any cars in our wandering about?
They're not very common at all. There are one or two, but you've really not seen many. The only one of note you've seen really was the one inside the compound.
Let's not go back there. That's a bad idea.
But there's one or two of them about, but not a lot. Okay, so yeah. talk to me. What's specifically happening?
So Pax and D4 are going with Druso and Korchev back to Jefferson Starship.
Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Why do you do this?
We like to create a challenge for ourselves and for you.
I mean, is it still quite late now?
It is late, yeah. You're probably looking at the early hours, maybe one or two at the moment.
We could conceivably go together and get through town. There's not really too many people around.
I was more thinking maybe you guys could, like, hide, because I feel like them seeing Korchev and Druso, people might know that they should be locked in containers. So maybe you guys can hide on the outskirts of town and then we go and get Melkor and then we all head back together.
Guys, don't worry about it. I got this. So I'm going to take my sunglasses off and put them on Druso, and then I'm going to take my big jacket off and put that on Korchev so it covers up his uniform. Job done, guys. Pocket disguises. Weekend at Bernie's.
I take it back, you're a genius.
I can't see a fault in that. So what's happening first? Tell me, I am just responding to your every whim.
I say we go in mob-handed and grab Apron Man. Then we just we conga line out of this two-horse town, steal ourselves, let's steal ourselves a truck, jump in it, and then drive off to the desert, because that way we've got a spaceship and a truck.
I mean, if we can call it a truck, there are very few vehicles in this town.
All right, let's just all go and get Melkor then.
Cool. Okay.
I feel like I feel like you're stood. So you're stood in the in a back alley, in the middle of Peloton. It's the middle of the night. There's a really clear sky above. You can just see stars, and it's very dark, very pitch black. You're stood around discussing your plans here. Korchev is looking a bit confused. He's clearly missed the last 2 days. He doesn't really know what's going on. Druso is clearly heavily injured. He's not in any real fit state to be asking questions. But again, he looks very confused. He's sort of looking around quite bleary-eyed, wondering sort of who you are, what's happening. They feel quite malleable at the moment. They would probably go along to them, this is still all part of the rescue, so they are probably going to go along with whatever you want. So,
to Melkor, let's go back to the coronet.
To the Apronier.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Do you know where he lives? Like, he gave me some memories.
You don't.
Oh, yeah, Druso. Where does Melkor live? Where do you live with your husband, Melkor, or partner?
I was just leading you to water there. I couldn't quite say that in any plainer terms, I guess. You asked him. Druso sort of nods his head and says, it's not far. Just down here, follow me. And he sort of... he limps along the street, and you sort of keep to the shadows a little bit, but it's quite late. There's not many people around. You see this man sleeping in a doorway. He's just got his head propped up and sort of snoring quite loudly. But it's quite quiet. As you walk along, you don't really bump into anyone. After about 7 or 8 minutes, you round a corner, go down another alleyway past a small fountain, and you come to a door, which Druso sort of stops outside and ever so gently just knocks on it, like... And there's a bit of a silence, and the door just creeps open very slowly, and...
I'm going to be stood behind Druso, just like with my finger up against my lips, going, shh, shh.
And a face appears in the door, and you recognise it very quickly to be Melkor. Melkor goes, Druso! And he pulls him in, and gives this huge hug. And he looks at you, and he looks sort of left and right, says, come in. And he beckons you into the doorway.
I follow.
As do we all.
There's no point staying outside. Let's interrupt this reunion.
So you find Melkor waiting for you in a small kitchen. It's a very low ceiling. The ceiling is about 6 foot high. You probably have to duck slightly so the top of your head doesn't graze the roof. Inside there's a small stove with a bottle of gas linked up to it. There's a wooden table with a couple of chairs. It's very Spartan. There's no real ornamentation or decoration. There's also a bench with a few tools on it. There's a couple of sort of sets of pliers, some scrapers for rending sort of the remains of flesh off animal skins. Melkor sort of looks at you and just says, thank you. Oh, Druso, wherever have you been? Oh, I've been worried sick out of my mind. Thank you so much for finding him. What happened?
Are you asking us or Druso?
So Druso is sort of like sitting himself on a chair, and he's got his head in his hands at this moment, and he's not really responding. I think he's almost in a sort of small amount of shock to be home.
Let's talk brass tacks here. Was there some kind of reward? Or some cubles or something?
There was talk of monogrammed aprons.
Melkor does look a bit shocked. Yes, of course. I did say, didn't I?
Have you made them already?
Made what? Oh, the aprons.
About the apron soup?
It's been about 12 hours.
I figured that much. Can you carry what you need to make the aprons?
Where?
Out of town? Because, you know... Boy. If you go stealing prisoners from a gang that runs the town, they're probably going to come after you, so you probably want to leave the town. What I'm saying here is that we need to leave the town.
He looks very taken aback. I certainly hadn't thought of that. We can't just upend our lives. What do you owe? How did this happen?
I just kind of feel like that doesn't really matter anymore because they're a gang.
Yeah.
And
we stole your dude from them, man. They're going to come here and they're going to murder you.
Yeah, murder's probably high on their agenda.
That's the best case scenario. They just murder you.
Roll a persuasion check, one of you. If you want, you can have advantage for both of you helping.
I've got a +2 to my persuasion. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, I've got +4.
Okay, go to town, dude. Persuade.
We chose poorly.
No.
Damn it. I got a 13.
Melkor sort of looks and says, I'm sure, look, I'm very, very, very glad for your help, but I'm sure whatever trouble Druso got into with Shinetop, we can work all of this out.
Listen, Melky. I'll kill you if you don't come with us.
I'm
so you either stay here and they kill you, or I kill you. And
I don't feel like that's much of an option, dude.
He's just looking between the two of you.
And when I do it, it'll hurt more.
Dude, what are you doing? Okay, I'm going to go over to Melkor and I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder and just say, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought there was more.
No. I'm really, really sorry. And then I just knock him out.
Okay. Roll an attack, I guess. I'll give you advantage. Actually, roll it with advantage because you are utterly sucker punching him here.
An 18.
That does hit. So you, what are you doing? Just describe what you're doing here.
I've put my left hand on his shoulder. I've turned him to face me. I'm just looking deep into his eyes with my dead reptilian eye and also my dead robot eye, and I'm gazing into the zeros and ones of his soul, and I am just utterly betraying this poor apron making motherfucker. I just punch him square in his sweet little face.
And you know, for a minute I thought we were the good guys, and then
I'm being cruel to be kind. Path of the Slayer.
Druso immediately shifts his chair back and he looks absolutely in shock with what's happening. He's just seen you crack his partner over the side of the head. Now, one of you, who I will pick at random. So D4, he pushes his chair back and immediately bolts for the door. Sort of just abandon the flat, the house immediately.
I'm going to stick my leg out and try and trip him over.
Okay, roll a dexterity check for me, which he'll contest.
So that's a critical fail.
You stick your leg out and he just jumps over your foot and bolts out of the door, slamming the door behind him, and sprints off down the street.
Axe is going out.
Okay.
Jefferson will go after him as well.
Okay, so...
But I'm also going to use a bonus action to cast Quick Step on myself, so I get plus 10 to my speed.
Okay, so... You sprint out of the door. Can you both roll an athletics check for me?
Is a 14.
I got a 15.
Okay, so you get out the door relatively quickly, and you are astonished by how far down the street Druso is. He has made a huge amount of distance. He's managed to get well over 100 meters down the street in an extremely short amount of time by the time you get out of the house. And it looks very much as if he is he's pulling away. He's just about to round a corner.
Quick question. So I've now got a base speed of 40.
Mm-hmm.
Does my tactical ambush, which gives me a plus 10 to my speed in my first round of combat, apply here?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of ability is all about, you know, acting quickly, isn't it? When sort of in a sort of high-risk scenario. So I would say that, yes, you could probably use that there.
Okay, so I have a dashing speed of 100 feet then.
Okay, so yeah, so you sprint after him at extremely, extremely high speed. So you get a good way down the street. Pax, you're falling behind quite significantly. As he rounds the corner, you see him disappear again. And can you roll another athletics check for me?
Both of us.
Yeah. Well, if you're still pursuing.
I got a 15 again.
Same again, 14, yeah.
Okay, and can you also roll constitution checks for me as well?
Check or save?
Just a check.
Makes a difference to me. 7. Terrible.
12.
Okay, so yeah, so Pax, you get to the corner of the street where he turned, and you're getting pretty knackered out. Now you weren't, you hadn't limbered up. Your legs are starting to tighten up as you round the corner. Jefferson and Druso are both a reasonable distance away. Jefferson, you're much closer actually. Druso has, he's still made some good speed away, but he looks like he's started to tire just a little bit. He seems like he's flagging a little bit. He dives down another alleyway, and you hear a crash and sounds of boxes falling over. So you just pursue him around the corner, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so you run round the corner, and you see that he's actually toppled behind him as he's run. He's toppled a huge pile of chairs that were piled up against the wall. Roll dexterity save for me. No, dexterity right, chairs.
I just want to say that's disrespectful. Those chairs belong to someone. I'm disappointed in Druso. That is a 21.
Yeah, so you step over these very deftly. And you can see him. He's not too far ahead of you. And as I said, he does seem like he's tiring out a bit. Can you roll one last athletics check for me?
Yeah, that is a 16.
Okay, so you... you close the distance on him reasonably well. He is clearly tired out now. He's sprinted down the street, but he's not necessarily a practiced athlete. He's just gone into a flight response. And you catch up to him with his sort of back against a wall in the corner of an alley. It's a sort of L shape, and he comes to a stop, and he turns around and looks at you with this definite look of fear in his eyes.
I say, listen, you ungrateful son of a bitch, we are trying to help you. We rescued you from Shinetop and his cronies. Your husband was being an idiot because obviously you can't stay here. You know that. You've already been captured by them and beaten to a pulp.
Druso sort of lets out a bit of a exasperated laugh, and you see his mouth and his teeth for the first time in the moonlight. You notice that his mouth and his teeth are sort of stained a bit reddish. He just looks at you and says, "I don't know you from anyone. You could be as bad as them. All you've dragged me away, and you've punched Melkor. That's what you did. You've punched Melkor. I don't need to trust you."
I mean, you don't need to trust me, but on the other hand, the gang are definitely going to kill you now because you've escaped. They're just going to murder you. Whereas so far we've refrained from murdering you, which at least puts us half a step above them. Yes, we punched Melkor, but as I said, he was being a dummy.
Have I caught up yet?
Nearly. Not quite. Nearly.
Okay. Probably wise.
Roll a dexterity check for me.
18.
Okay, so yeah, so you just managed to clear those deck chairs in the middle of the street. And you'll be closing up fairly soon. Jefferson, you say you're trying to persuade him here, or...?
Yeah, I'd say this is persuasion.
Okay. He stops and he just says, "Who are you?"
Crap, we need a team name.
We do need a team name.
The Epsilon Shift, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
you were the Epsilon Shift. That is how the media is labelling you.
We were once the Epsilon Shift aboard the HWBC Callistus. That didn't go so well. Now we're the crew of the Jefferson Starship.
We're the Expendables. Wait, no.
We travel the universe doing stuff and things. Very rarely goes well. Even the nice things we do end up having a dark twist to them, like punching the husband of the man we just rescued.
Pax, you turn up just as Jefferson is explaining the team name to Druso in elaborate detail.
I punch him. Try and knock him out.
you just barrel in.
I barrel in.
Okay, so he definitely sees you coming here. So roll an attack.
Oh, man. Okay, that's 16 plus 3 strength, 19.
So, yeah, so you swing a punch and you do just about clip him. Do you want to just roll some damage on that?
Okay, that is 3 plus 3, 6.
Okay, so, X, how are you doing this?
I'm just barreling. I'm going to... clothesline him, that famous wrestling move, properly clothesline him to the floor, and then just like bear hug him,
Okay, so you sort of swing in and you push him into the wall. He goes back into the wall. He doesn't go down. He manages to sort of stay on his feet, but you push him quite forcefully back into the wall. He sort of hits his back and the back of his head on the wall. He's clearly quite hurt by that, emotionally and physically.
So we're not always on the same page. Sometimes we have a different approach to things. But our heart is in the right place.
So I'm going to try and bear hug him and like restrain him and try and like carry him back to the place.
At what point does a rescue turn into a kidnapping?
I think it's past that.
Maybe we ask them again. We let them calm down. We say, you can come with us. You'll be safe with us. We can drop you off anywhere else. Or you can stay here and die. I feel like that's the only move we have. I don't really want to force them.
Are you going to grapple Druso?
Yeah.
Okay, roll a strength then.
Oh, balls. 6.
Okay, so you go to grab him and he just pushes you off him. And he sort of pushes you off and says, just get off me! And he sprints away again. I'll let you, won't you make sort of like an opportunity attack one last time just as he sprints away?
Yeah, I'll try and like sweep his leg. 14.
So you go to sweep his leg, and he again, he just steps over your leg, and he just sprints off down the alleyway, kind of into the darkness, really. I mean, you could pursue him again, but he sprints off quite quickly.
I feel like we call this a lost cause and just leave him to it.
D4 and Ozan, you are back at Melkor's house. What? And Melkor is sort of semi-unconscious on the floor, like, so, oh, gosh.
I pop him one more time just to be sure. Just to make sure.
Jeez. Okay, so how are you doing that?
Just with my fist, I'm doing non-lethal damage. I just, like, quite bashfully under my breath and sort of, sorry. Duh.
Roll an attack.
That's another 18.
Okay, so, and I mean this in the best of the will in the world, there's only so far you can specify non-lethal damage.
Okay, so
you can't just keep punching someone and shouting, don't worry, it's non-lethal. It's not how life works.
I only punched him twice.
You are a giant crocodile robot.
and everyone knows the third time is the charm.
Now, so I want you very honestly to roll damage for me here.
Am I doing D6 or am I doing D4?
I mean...
Wait! We don't know each other that much yet.
Yeah, you guys just walk back in and Ozan's having
it's you. Only been 2 days.
I think given that he's unconscious and you've got a clear shot here and you're just... I'm going to go with D6.
Oh, he's already unconscious. I thought you said he was semi-unconscious.
I mean, he was unconscious for all intents and purposes.
Oh, right. In that case, I don't hit him.
No, because I very clearly said he was on the floor going, and...
He said he was semi-unconscious. I was just going to pop to make sure he wasn't going to do anything stupid.
He's not unconscious, but he's definitely not got his guard up.
Oh, well, in that case, I leave him alone. I'm not an arsehole.
In that case, probably he could have had advantage on the attack.
He would have had advantage on the attack, but the first one definitely hit.
Oh, well, no.
But it could be a crit.
I'm not just going to keep pummeling him because I'm like, that was more risk.
I'm pretty sure... You said you were just going to pop him again when I said he was on the floor, semi-unconscious, going...
To make sure he was down. I wasn't...
I mean, you're definitely making sure he's down.
So let's be clear. Now our rescue attempt turned into a kidnapping and a murder. The gang aren't going to know who to come after because this makes no sense.
There is a definite part of me, based on what has been said, to stick with the no-takesies-backsies here because I feel... I mean, okay, was I clear that he was semi-unconscious, he was groaning, and he definitely wasn't defending himself?
There's that word again, semi. Semi-unconscious implies conscious.
We don't know to what level he was, functioning, able to move or run away. Like, semi-unconscious, there's a big gap between unconscious and semi-unconscious.
See, I feel like this is more of a philosophical issue at this point. I mean, is he conscious? Is he not? Is he punched? Is he not? I mean, we don't know until we go.
So, in my head, here's what's happening in my mind screen. He is lying on the floor. He's lying on the floor in the fetal position, making groaning noises, going You have straddled over him and just brought a huge fist down on the side of his head to make sure.
No, in my head, he was like, he was still standing up, just holding the side of his head, going, "What the fuck, dude? That's a completely different scenario. I'm not going to kick a dude while he's in the fetal position in his own home, saying, 'Dear God, stop it, stop it. Why is this happening to me?'"
Okay, okay, okay. Let's say he was on his feet, okay? And yeah, he was holding the side of his head. And
you, and then, you... then in that case, I pop in one to make sure he's
okay, and you've clearly hit him.
Okay.
Now roll damage.
Okay, am I doing a D4 or a D6?
Don't you have additional damage on your unarmed anyway? So roll your D6, and this is what's going to determine how this goes.
But that's what I mean. I'm not using my claws. I'm just punching him.
Okay. Roll a D4, and that's going to determine how this goes.
Okay, cool. That is a 3.
So you just wind up your... And you crack Melkor in the face. And he spins and just goes down, hits the floor like a sack of potatoes. He is very, very much not moving.
I got Melkor.
Melkor.
Can I check for a pulse?
Yes, roll a medicine check.
Oh, God. Profession to medicine. No, I'm not. It's a 10 total.
A 10. You can't quite tell.
It's, oh, my God.
You're not 100% sure whether he's dead or not, but he's absolutely out.
I look over to Korchev and say, "We're not normally like this."
What the shit?
Are you medically trained, Korchev?
Yes, basic training.
Can you check for a pulse? I think we just killed a man. I mean, normally that's fine, but this one wasn't fighting back.
Korchev goes over to try and check a pulse.
Oh, no.
Just for everyone that is listening to the show and not watching our streams, Tom got a critical fail. Korchev has no idea. He thinks that Melkor is a space cow.
He can't find a pulse. It has been a long time since basic training, but what the shit?
Wait, Tom, can I do a medicine check? Because I haven't done one yet. So maybe I can see if he's dead.
Yeah, you guiltily go over. Very guilty, you go over.
Give him CPR.
If you get a 1, it's a punch.
I've got a 6.
you can't feel a pulse. You can't tell.
Okay, so I kind of get to my feet. I exhale deeply. I turn to Korchev and D4. I shoot them a meaningful look. And I draw
shoot
my
them,
flare
you say. No witnesses.
I just say to him, "Boys, this ain't our first rodeo. We know what happens now.
We've been in worse scrapes than this."
Ozan, no flare gun. We don't know he's dead.
I mean, I've checked, you've checked, he's checked. Like he's done. I can't go back to prison, man. I haven't been, but I don't want to go.
All right, I'm going to say over my head then. "Hey, guys, how's it going? We've lost Druso. So that went super well."
"Yep, super well here too. All fine.
Everything's fine. No one's dead."
"No.
D4, is someone dead?"
"No.
We don't know.
Don't be a nerd."
"All right, I'm coming back. Just wait for me." And I walk back.
"Me too."
I'm popping up all of the flammable items I can find in the house.
Ozan, no flare gun.
I'm just preparing. Like, there's nothing wrong with gathering kindling.
Korchev sort of speaks up and is just like, "What? It's been 2 days since I saw you. What happened?"
"It's been a rough 2 days.
It's been crazy, man. You weren't there.
What happened to you? You're fucking psychotic."
I'll be honest. I've always been like this.
They're bad influences. I've always been bad at medicine. I mean, I can try and use a field salve on him, but he might just be dead."
"Yeah, well, it's the surefire way to know."
"So I'm going to call my drone and do a field salve."
Talk me through a field salve.
So you send micro drones to administer healing to your allies. Free creatures of your choice that you can see within range regain hit points equal to 1d4 plus your Forge Ability modifier.
So your drone. So yeah, what does your drone do? Tell me. Describe it again.
Zooms out my backpack and looks at the body on the floor, looks at me, and gives out a sad Yes, again. Can you try and do something about this, please? And then, so that's a, oh god, that's a 1 plus 2, so 3 total.
Okay. So firstly, I really hope that yes again leads into your wider backstory that we find out about one day.
Maybe.
The drone applies a field salve to the side of his head to where he's been cracked repeatedly by Ozan. You can't quite tell how Melkor is, but he seems to be breathing ever imperceptibly.
Okay, I chuck him over my shoulder, and cool, let's roll, boys.
All we can do is wait and continue with the kidnapping.
Yep.
I mean rescue.
Can I have returned now?
Yeah, I would say you're back about now.
Okay. And I walk in. Guys, what the shit?
I know, right? What the shit?
They're going kidnapping.
We are apparently very bad with people. That's all I can say. That's what I've gathered from this.
Should we leave Druso a note?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I feel like we leave Melkor alone, we leave Druso alone, and we leave them a note saying we're about until, let's say, midday tomorrow, or however long it takes us to rescue Steve.
I mean, and the way rescues have been going so far, it could be longer.
Yeah, and to contact us if they want to leave, and if not, we're very sorry for all the trouble we've caused.
I mean,
and possible brain trauma.
Great way of the gang coming in, finding the guys, finding the note, and then setting a trap for us to be lured into later on.
Why don't we just tell them what channel we're on in terms of like radio signal, and then that way they don't know where we are.
I'm just going to float an idea, guy. So,
does it involve punching someone?
At some stages, yes. So here's what we do. We take Melkor with us. We, with or without a flare gun, set fire to the house. And then Melkor has got nowhere else to go, so he has to seek us out in order to find Melkor. We end up with him. He ends up safe. And the gang has no leverage over us.
No flames. Not again.
I feel like, again, our heart is in the right place, but our method is questionable.
The means justify the ends, man. I mean,
what are the ends?
That is the right question.
Right. What if we just leave a note that says call us and then head back to the ship, and they can do what they want, because that
can
way
we, cut out like newspaper cuts of the words and like stick them.
Oh, let's Da Vinci Code this shit. Let's paint an elaborate painting.
I'm fairly certain I was about to talk Druso around.
I would say that is fully accurate. You were absolutely about to talk Druso around, and then Pax clotheslined him. I think it's only fair to say that clothesline made him slightly more untrustworthy of you as a group.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if that had worked, if we'd got back, if we got back with Druso, and Melkor was just unconscious on the floor,
yeah,
that wouldn't help things.
I feel like you know, some people more than others have potentially gravitated towards violence in a relatively quick,
unnecessary way.
Yeah, let's say hasty fashion.
This is why I'm sort of like, let's call it quits on this. Get back to rescuing Steve. Maybe that'll go well. Maybe. Maybe Steve will die. Like, all I can see happening now is Steve is definitely going to die.
I like it how we had like a clear plan at the end of last session, and then just we've done none of that.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, I did not plan for you chasing these guys down the street and accidentally, like, nearly murdering one of them.
All we were trying to do was keep them safe as well. That's what's hilarious about this.
It comes from a good place, it does, you're right.
Guys, we are. Like, there was genuinely part of me that was like, all right, let's rob them, make it look like Druso did it, and then leave.
I mean, I might rob them anyway. We need some form of payment.
Well, the thing is, I don't think we do, because really all we were after was Korchev. We accidentally found Druso.
That's true. It was a side quest.
Essentially, you were given a side quest. You completed the side quest. You got back to the quest giver and punched him in the face. There was literally two buttons. Collect reward, punch in face. You chose punch in face.
Optional quest failed.
It was a bold choice. It was a bold choice. It didn't pay off in the end.
He was literally at the time scrabbling around to find you your money.
I mean, all I was just trying to convince him that maybe staying in the town full of criminals that want him and his partner dead was a bad idea. Now it looks like a hate crime.
And it wasn't a tough sell, you know? It wasn't a tough sell, you know? It's a big ask to ask someone to totally upend their life, to say you have to leave the planet you're on. That is a big ask. That takes a little bit of consideration.
I think if we've got Druso on board, then maybe that would have helped as well.
Yeah, about that. And you know what? I actually had my my energy staff. I could have slowed his movement if he looked like he was going to run again by hitting him with that. That was my next move.
Hitting with you guys.
I hit no one.
I've only healed someone badly.
Yeah, if anything, me and D4, as usual, are innocent.
I mean, by association, we're very guilty.
It's not going to stand up in court. Okay, so you are currently stood in Melkor's kitchen. Druso is nowhere to be seen. Melkor is unconscious, as best you can tell, over Ozan's shoulder. Korchev is pacing up and down the room with his hands behind his head, just looking absolutely flabbergasted by what has happened in the last 5 minutes.
I feel like we need to calm Korchev down. Korchev, this looks bad.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what's happened. Let me paint you a word picture with my brains.
I see what's happened. You're psychotic.
Right. So you remember the Callistus being destroyed? That was unfortunate.
Yes, vague memory.
Do you remember who was responsible for that?
Yes, the Lorendi were on the ship.
Did you happen to see a chap called Venin Page?
I know this name. Venin Page, he works for Revesis. Why would Venin Page be on
All right, well, ship? We've got something interesting to show you, because at the minute Pax has got a recording which shows Venin Page shooting the captain. We'll show you that later.
Venin shot the captain?
Yeah, I mean, again, we'll show you that later. He destroyed the ship.
Venin was our contact at Revesis.
What is Revesis? What do they do?
Revesis are weapons building, mega corporation. They are based on Rith. Big corporation.
Rith.
You would know Rith. Rith is one of the core planets. It's a well-known planet, very industrious, and a lot of sort of urban areas. The whole planet's quite heavily populated, so you would definitely know Rith. Korchev sort of continues. He was the contact at Revesis. We were supposed to be supposedly taking a picking up a shipment of parts from a Revesis factory. Page took a personal interest in coordinating our shipment of parts. I thought he was just trying to keep us sweet for future contracts, but he was one of the few people who would know that we were heading to Rith.
So, a couple of questions. I feel like this is the wrong time and place, but you know what? I'm gonna drive forward. Do you know what we were carrying? Because he seemed something. There was something on deck. Was it deck 7 that he seemed particularly interested in?
I guess there's no harm in outing with it now, eh?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's taking it, so yeah.
Going to Rith was a cover story. The cover story was we were going to Rith to pick up a shipment of parts, but the real mission was, on the way there, we would call in at the Infinity Order outpost on Beltrine. We were carrying an artifact on the science deck. That's what I think they must have been after.
That's deck 7, research and development.
Yes. The Order found it floating in the outer sections of the galaxy, purely by chance, really. It looked like an anomaly on the scanners when we first saw it, but as we came closer, the readings look much more like we were approaching a crucible. Only it was smaller, much, much smaller. When we brought it on board, it was giving off huge power signals. We thought it might be some form of ancient prototype, like miniaturized crucible. It could have held key to unlimited portable energy, we thought. Imagine it, starships that never need to refuel, cities powered by devices the size of a beach ball, not to mention military applications. We were taking it to Baltrin to study, to try and figure out what it was when we were attacked by the Lavendi Imperium ship.
So, essentially what you're saying is, you picked up this thing that is potentially a source of unlimited portable energy, and this chap from Revesis, Benin Page, knew all about it. Revesis being a company that makes lots of weapons, and then he stole it to... I mean, I'm just rolling with ice... pardon the pun, you wouldn't understand the pun, but it's something about what dictates our universe. He presumably stole it so that he could make lots of weapons using this portable energy source and sell them for a huge profit to the Infinity Order, who would have otherwise had access to this source anyway. Well, he's essentially stealing it to sell it back to them. That's my guess.
Well, he was one of the few people who would know where we were, and he has the knowledge and the connections to pull this kind of thing off. But why would he work with the Lorendi Imperium? Why would he declare war on the entire Infinity Order? We are best customer.
My guess would be that he hired them to do it so that they would look like the guilty parties. And then he got a better option because he's blamed us for it.
So now we're very much the guilty party, despite this time not being guilty.
Anyway, so that's all very interesting. Let's put a bookmark there, because I feel like we're going to have to get back to that. But moving on with explaining our current predicament, we ended up having to fly here. It's the only planet in range of our ship, the Jefferson Starship. You may have heard of it. It's the Junker from the Callistus.
Hurley's Junker?
Yeah, Hurley's Junker.
I did not think that could fly.
Well, turns out it can. So we got here and, you know, asking about... We found your escape pod. We were asking about seeing if we could figure out where you were, which is when we ran into Melkor here, and he asked us if we could help find his husband, Druso, who you met briefly. We eventually figured out where you probably were, and it turned out Druso was there as well. We very stealthily rescued you and Druso. And, you know, we thought we were doing a good thing. We thought, you know, we'd take them both away from this planet and save them. They were a little hard to convince. Admittedly, our methods, probably not the best way to convince people to trust us. You know, punching them, attacking them in alleys. So you can see that our intentions were good. We're just not very clever.
I guess.
I just want you on board with us, because we have some other fun plans about ending slavery on the planet.
Well, no offense, but my options are quite thin on the ground right about now. So.
I mean, no offense. So you're saying you're with us for now?
Yeah.
Again, not kidnapping. There's no kidnapping involved here. You can leave whenever you like.
This is good to know.
But we've got the ship, so it's basically when we leave.
Yeah, but no, what I mean is you can, like, we could land on another planet and you could leave then, or you could stick with us. I want you to feel free.
Yeah, Korchev, you can tell he looks around, he looks a bit resigned, he's pacified for now. You can tell that he still thinks that however you mean this, you're... methods are clearly not how he would operate.
Well, I've admitted that they were flawed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who got captured?
That's fair.
On to the matter at hand, guys. What are we doing?
Saving Steve.
No, I meant the immediate matter at hand, which is unconscious Melkor disappeared, Druso. Do we follow this up, or do we just take payment of some sort and then leave?
Oh, yeah, let's loot his house and burn it down.
I don't really want to do that, because if he chooses to stay, then he's in a real shit situation then.
Okay, let's...
Yeah, let's loot his house, though, at least.
One or the other. I vote burn it down, but, I mean, it's up to you guys.
All right, guys, here's my... I'm going to stick with my original suggestion. We leave a note saying, contact us on this channel. Really sorry about the mix-up. And then we just go.
He's going to follow his husband, like he's...
I mean, his husband did just do a runner when he saw Connor get hit in the face.
That was a little uncaring.
It's not, not the coolest, is it?
Are we cool with me leaving a note?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I loot the place, please?
I'm definitely...
No.
Are you asking me, or are you asking the party?
The party.
Okay.
You can steal an apron.
Okay.
Like, I feel like we've done enough damage to their marriage and this house already.
Aprons for all.
Tom, can I... I'm definitely taking an apron. Absolutely. Tom, can I... whilst I write the note, just, like, slip 50 credits under it Just, I don't want anyone else to say that I've done that, but I just feel really super bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to roll for that. I don't think anyone's going to watch you writing a note, especially when Pax is handing out aprons. And yeah, you write a note, and yeah, Pax, you find 4 Dofrau aprons.
I'm going to take my apron and put it under Melk's head as a makeshift pillow.
You need an apron out of this.
Tie it round my neck like a cape.
Excellent work.
Okay, Pax, what are you doing with your apron?
We need a full apron strategy, please.
Does he make hats as well? Or
he's an aproner, man. Clues in the name.
All right, I'm going to use the apron as a fashion some kind of like headgear. I feel like that's good kind of desert garb.
What, like a do-rag?
Yeah, like a what?
Like a do-rag.
A do-rag?
Yeah, you know, like what Tupac wears, well, wore.
Yes.
Well, where's okay. The bending conspiracy theory that you follow?
So I'm not sure how cool a tanned leather bandana is going to keep you, but I'm on board with it. I'll dig it.
I'm down with the kids. I'm now street.
All right, shall we go back to the ship? Because I feel like we need to plan our Steve rescue.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, man, that dude ran off with my sunglasses.
Yeah, he did.
He absolutely did.
I throw Melkor over my shoulder. Back
off. Something else we need to rescue now.
No, don't take Melkor. Leave him.
No, I'm taking my jacket off of Melkor.
No, Melkor doesn't have your jacket. Korchev has your jacket.
We're not taking Melkor.
No, we're leaving Melkor. Because otherwise it's a kidnapping.
I just want my jacket, guys. Korchev, give him back my jacket.
He sheepishly gives it over.
Oh wait, no, I forgot you're wearing it, so no one sees your uniform. Actually, keep the jacket for now. Just don't get any blood on it or anything.
Pick a fucking lane.
I will break your legs. I will throw a spaceship at you.
I'll be honest. If you pick a fight with him, Ozan, I'll probably side with him. Like,
that's fine.
I really like you. You're a lot of fun. You're a good guy to have in your corner in a fight, but you're incredibly unstable.
I don't think you understand how much I love this jacket.
To the ship. Let's go back to Jefferson Starship.
No stains, Khrushchev.
Is it Gorbachev? Is it Khrushchev?
Khrushchev.
Yeah, to the ship.